Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor begins a two-part series titled Soul Cleanse, The Journey to Wholeness. This is part one titled The Impact of Spiritual Cleansing. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Today, I want to talk to you about partnering with the Holy Spirit to begin a very deep soul cleanse way, way deep on the inside of you. Today's world is so very health conscious, but the main focus is on the outer man. You know, how to live longer, how to live stronger. And that is very, very important. We all want to live longer and stronger. And we all only get one body per lifetime. So it's very important. I mean, the glut, the avalanche of information today on how to live longer and stronger, it's everywhere. It really is. There's so much information to be accessed. And I pray that you do take full opportunity of that. You know, one of the trigger words out there is obviously the word cleanse, as far as your natural body. Today, the word liver cleanse, colon cleanse, gallbladder cleanse. I mean, the word cleanse is used in wellness circles everywhere. You know, and that's really, really needed because of the air environmental pollutants, the pesticides, the chemicals, the stuff that's in our food and drinks. There's so many toxins, you know, in all of these foods and drinks and a lot of our atmosphere and travel. And what happens is that these pesticides get stored up on the inside of a lot of your organs, your kidneys, your spleen, and these things. And, you know, and the only way that these organs get detoxified is through proper hydration, exercise, you know, and certain limited, restricted diets. And but what can happen is that these organs can be flushed. You know, they can be flushed of all these toxins and poison. They can go into your bloodstream and out your body. And you know what? You benefit. You feel better. You know, you have more energy. You have something more left over at the end of the day. And then you end up living longer on top of that. So body cleanse is essential. And I think that we should all take charge over our bodies and get the wisdom, get the understanding, function in these cleanses. I believe that's one of the reasons the Bible, you know, mentions so much about the fasting. You know, fasting has a spiritual benefit, but it also has a natural benefit that when you deprive your body of food for so often a period of time, whether it's hours or days, there's a cleansing that takes place within these organs in the bloodstream. And way back in Bible times, especially Isaiah chapter 58, oh, did he have an understanding of what fasting means. But today, you know, this message today is not about the body and not about the body cleanse. I simply use that to illustrate that that's a very popular, common word that's being used today. But the Bible speaks about another kind of cleanse, a soul cleanse. A soul cleanse. The need to shake loose the debris, the pain, broken fragments of your life that never seem to go away. Leftover baggage that invades your space and your new season, trying to sabotage everything in the now moment that God has for you. I believe with all of my heart that that's the very reason for this revelation I'm about to share with you, so that you can begin a journey of a lifetime, not just into being healed, not just into being forgiven, but where you can begin a journey into the life of wholeness. I mean, that's where your inner man meets up with your outer man and says, hey, I'm okay. How about you? And your outer man says to your inner man, hey, me too. Because that's what this is all about. Your inside is connected to your outside, and your outside is connected to your inside. And so in the process of these few teachings, what I want to do by the power of the Holy Spirit is to help you get into a cleansing on the inside that'll completely set you in a new level of freedom and healing on the way to wholeness, maybe like you've never, ever had before. Let's pray that. Let's pray, Holy Spirit, use this knowledge, this information to touch each listener, that you would run deep inside of each person, uproot every, you know, contaminated seed that's not from you, and begin to heal, begin to call deep unto deep. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is the text where we want to begin with, and it says that if we confess our sins, He is just and able to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to both forgive and cleanse. What's interesting is what a distinction God makes between forgiveness and cleansing. He says, I'm able to both forgive you and cleanse you. He didn't say, I'm able to forgive and that's all. Forgive and cleanse. Whenever God makes a distinction between words, there's a reason for that. Whenever God makes a distinction between words, it's because He's wanting you to understand that there's something entirely different between the meaning of these two functions. Forgiveness is whenever God releases you from a particular action, a thought action, something you said, something that you've been speaking, an action of your behavior where you did something, you know, you moved into a form of behavior pattern. I did this, I thought this, I said that, and God says, I forgive you. He releases you from the action of what you have said, what you have thought, and those things you have done, whether it's a day or over a course of years. But when He cleanses you, it's whenever He begins to remove the damage that that behavior has caused. One removes the action, one removes the act, the other one removes the damage that the act has caused. Oh, I hope you can see that. I hope you can see the difference. And it's very, very important that if you're going to begin a soul cleanse, that you understand the difference between the fact that you may be forgiven, but you may not be completely cleansed yet. And this is where God is bringing the church, the whole body of Christ today, into a deeper understanding of how your inside is so connected to your outside. And if you're going to be forgiven, then God wants you to be cleansed as well. And He wants you to function in wholeness. I mean your spirit, your soul, and your body. How do we get started on this cleanse? Well, the same trigger word that's used for forgiveness is also used for cleansing. And that is the word confession. He said, if you confess, He's able to both forgive and cleanse. So the secret lies still again with your mouth, with the formation of your words. But He's not talking here about a basic, you know, well, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry, begin a cleansing. There's a deeper meaning here to the word cleanse. There has to be a passion, an attitude, a want to, a desire. There's got to be, because this cleansing involves not just a moment or a day, but it involves a process. It involves a process where you're allowing God to go deep inside of you and not just remove the damage, but to remove the damage, He has to remove the why it happened and the how it happened. See, a lot of times we don't want to deal with the why, and we don't want to deal with, well, how did this take place? We just want to say, God, forgive me, and move on. And sometimes that's all we're told we have to do. Well, yes, to be forgiven, that's all you have to do. But if you want that deep cleanse, if you never, ever want to keep revisiting the same area over and over and over again, if you want to get off the merry-go-round, I tell people they stay on the merry-go-round, all they do is change horses. I mean, if you want to just get off the merry-go-round altogether, I mean, if you just want to get to a place where you realize that you no longer want to be hijacked and taken to a place that you're not choosing to go. God has a prophetic path for you that's supposed to be getting brighter and better and bigger by the day. And if that's not taking place, then we want to look what is sandbagging your process. And today there's so many getting physically healed, but the emotional damage, the baggage, and that's what's sandbagging their whole process. I believe with all of my heart that this series right here is about to turn you loose at a level you've never ever been before. But this word confession, there's got to be some form of an attitude similar to what David had in Psalm 51, maybe one of the greatest places where cleansing was mentioned through the power of confession. And David says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. There it is right there. Such a key. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltlessness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So many times in this psalm that David wrote, you hear the word cleanse. You hear the word create a clean heart. Cleanse me from this and make a right spirit within me. You hear not just words, but you hear a cry behind those words. It's very distinct. It's very real. It's something where David is saying, I just am not being casual about this, but I am displaying a radical transparency. I want you to get that two words, radical transparency. It's whenever you no longer make any attempt to cover for anything wrong or any hurt in your life. You no longer have an excuse. You no longer attempt to justify. You no longer attempt to say, well, this is why I am the way that I am. And you go way back and say, well, I was born this way. I was raised by this kind of a parent. You know, I had this happen to me in my marriage, and I was molested when I was 3. And so often, so many people use what happened back there, whether it was long ago or 3 weeks ago, and that becomes the justification for their behavior today. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit is not free to do cleansing, because he only cleanses. What did we read in David's psalm here? You desire truth on the inward parts. If you're going to get a cleanse, there's got to be a new level of desire for you to be truthful with yourself at the expense of creating a little bit of temporary pain that you may go through and come out the other end with all the benefits that God has for you. And one of those things that happens is the fact that you no longer attempt to justify. Like the way Adam said, well, it's this woman that you gave me. You know, yeah, I ate the fruit, but you gave me this woman, and she's the cause of all this. And if it wasn't for her, he tried to pass the buck to her. And God said, you know, Adam, but you still chose to do it. Whenever Moses came down out of the mountain and God asked, you know, Aaron, he said, you know, where did this cow come from? Aaron said, well, and Aaron's the one that made it. Aaron's the one that took the gold from the people of Egypt and the people of Israel and made it. And they asked Aaron, where did the cow come from? And Aaron said these words. It's actually in your Bible. He says, the cow, I saw this cow jump out of the fire. In other words, he lied. And that's what people do. To protect pride, to protect the not maybe having to face something about themselves that they find hard to face. It's hard to face things about yourself. It's hard to see yourself in a way that's less than perfect. But, you know, until you do, until you have that sense like, you know, David did, oh, Lord, you know, I've sinned against you. Until Isaiah said, I have unclean lips and I come from a people of unclean lips. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this place of imperfection? You know, these were great people. These weren't just regulars. These were who wants to be regular? Who wants to be normal? These were some of God's best people that he's ever had on the planet. And yet they saw themselves at some point in time in the face of God's presence, undone, imperfect, and weak and frail. And that's whenever God can sweep in and begin to do something. I mean to tell you, he can begin to do something that is so absolutely amazing. But you have to be willing to let yourself, here again, when you begin to desire a cleansing, we're not talking about forgiveness of something. Let's repeat this. We're talking about the why the debt happened, the how the debt happened. Why? So it don't keep happening. You know, cleansing is so different. It's kind of like you go away for the weekend and you let somebody stay in your home and you ask them just to kind of house sit while you're away for the weekend. Well, while you're away, you know, they happen to have friends over, and they have pizza, and they have some sodas, and they have some iced tea and coffee, and, you know, and they're just kind of hanging out at your house. Well, you come home, and what happens? You find out there's pizza boxes everywhere. There's empty coffee cups and empty soda bottles, and there's a stain in the carpet, and a vase broke. And you say, oh my, what happened? And you say, and the person says to you, well, I'm so sorry, you know, you left me here with your home and you entrusted me and had no idea this was going to happen. We were just planning on having a get-together, hanging out together, having some pizza, and one thing led to another, and I'm so sorry about the vase. I'm sorry about the carpet and these pieces. I should have cleaned this up, and you know, will you forgive me? Well, the owner of the house says to the guest that stayed there, well, of course I forgive you. You know, I mean, I was at your age one time, and I didn't have any place to live at one time, and you know, and I made mistakes too, and I was forgiven. Of course, I forgive you. But even though the person is forgiven, there's still pizza boxes everywhere. There's still soda bottles everywhere. There's still a burnt carpet and a broken vase. In other words, there's cleanup. Cleanup is needed, the cleansing. And when there's no cleanup, then you have pileup. And when you have a pileup, then you invite critters. You invite ants and all kind of, you know, creeping, crawly things that come out of the woodwork to have after the pileup that's been left there. That's where devils and demons are attracted, to places that have not been cleansed. And that's why people keep repeating and visiting the same places of pain and even the same places of bondage. Yes, they were once forgiven, but because cleanup did not take place, then they left enough there, enough of the crime scene was still left contaminated, that it drew back the creepy, crawling things, the devils, the demons, and even, yes, the pain and the frustration. That's why cleansing is such an essential part. And that's why they go together as powerful twins in 1 John 1:9. If you confess, if you open up your mouth, now if you don't think it or feel it or intend to, but if you open up your mouth and you say, Lord Jesus, if you say, Holy Spirit, I have done wrong. I have been hurt. I hurt somebody. I was a part of this and I was a part of that. As much as it may hurt to admit to some of these things, it's very, very important that you do, that you let the light shine on that. And that's whenever you're no longer attempting to conceal, to cover, or to justify. That's what David did. He said, against you and you only. He said, oh my, it's ever before me. And that's whenever he radically was transparent and he opened up. And as I said, he didn't try and pass this on to anybody. Leave your family alone. The motto of the gospel isn't that because of that I couldn't be this. The motto of the gospel, it's because of what Jesus did at Calvary, that in spite of the fact that you were molested, in spite of the fact that you had a bad marriage, in spite of the fact that you grew up in a place where there was not this and not that, in spite of what happened to you, you still made it. You came through it. You beat the odds. That's the motto. That's the manifesto of every born-again, blood-bought child of God. And that is, yeah, my circumstances tried to take me out. The enemy tried to use this and that and the other. But in spite of all that, I was able to swim upstream, fly into that headwind, and still be who God wanted me to be and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm achieving all that God wants me to achieve. That's what God has made you to be, someone that beats the odds, a game changer, someone that says, I'm the one in my family that got away. Oh, this gets me excited. But this doesn't come just by forgiveness. Do you hear me? It comes by having a higher level of transparency and going and saying, oh, that's why I did that. This is how that happened. And you take responsibility for it. And you let the Holy Spirit come in and begin to tell. You see, there's a story that we all know so well. And that story is the story of the Samaritan, you know, where the Levite passed him by and the priest passed him by. But the Samaritan came upon the wounded man that had just been beaten up. I mean, brutally beaten up. And he turned him over and he began to pour in the oil and the wine. I mean, this wounded man, you know, had to let somebody else touch his sore places. Because the oil was to soothe the wound, but the wine was an antiseptic. Because of the alcohol content, the wine was often used to wash out the wound. So as that Samaritan began to pour in the oil and the wine, here's a wounded man who had to lay there and let him tend to him right after he had been abused by somebody. And that's what we have to do. We have to allow. We have to let God tend to us. We have to trust him. That he's not a man that he should lie. That he's not going to exploit, you know, our places of pain and places where we did wrong. That's not why God came to us. He came to us to save, to salvage, to restore, to give life more abundantly. And that trust has to happen because he's not the people that hurt you. He's not your boss that did this and your ex-husband that did that. You know, he's not the pastor that lied, and he's not the person in the church that, you know, didn't pay you. He's not any of those people. And all of those people, all are saved by God's grace as well as you are and I am. He's Almighty God. He stands alone. He's the head of this great and glorious church. And he's here to remove every spot and every wrinkle that's ever come into your life. But you got to trust him. And you've got to get that radical transparency. You really, really do. I mean, if you're not going to come clean with everything, if you're going to keep blaming people, well, that wouldn't have happened if this. And if I'd have known better, and if I'd have had all the information, yeah, but you didn't, and you did. You know, and it gets down to the end of the day where it happened, and you were there, and you were involved. It happened to them through you, or it happened from them to you. And irregardless of how and when, and all the reasons why and why not, just take a step back and say, you know what? This doesn't matter in the time of scope and eternity. What matters is I am completely honest before my God because I want to be cleansed. I don't want to ever revisit this no more. You know, when you go by the seashore after the storm, a great storm has hit the sea, what happens is you see what seaweed, broken bottles, license plates, all up on the beach. In other words, the ocean coughs up its stuff. It's not always pretty, but the ocean says, you know, I'm being purged, I'm being cleansed of what's inside of me. And this storm has been used to flush up this stuff up and out of me. That's what God wants to do. He's not just trying to bring this to your attention to make you feel bad. He's trying to bring this to attention to say, hey, look, in spite of what you did, in spite of how foolish, how ignorant, in spite of all the hurt and damage and pain this action may have caused people, I'm bringing this up and letting you see, to me, I love you anyhow. I'm bringing this up to let you see, I'm not going to let this stay in your life and hinder your progress forever. I'm helping you come through this, come out of this, and move into a place that you've never, ever been in your life before. It's so important that in this process that you begin to use the word cleanse. It's not just a Webster word, it's a Bible word. You know, it's a word we seldom use whenever we're walking in our daily walk with God. We often use the word forgive me this and forgive me that. And again, I said that removes you from the action of something. But whenever you want God to go inside of you and go deep, You know, Psalm 19, verse 12 says, David said, cleanse thou me, cleanse, use the word cleanse thou me of my hidden faults, things I'm not really aware of consciously. You know, we offend people without knowing it. We have things that have happened to us we've forgotten about, and they've never been really healed or they've never really been helped. David said, I know I got stuff in me that's just never been tended to. And he said, so cleanse me of those. You know, wipe my soul clean. You know, more than forgiveness. I just don't want to keep coming back and wondering, why am I back here again? Why do I keep ending back here? I want to go past here, never to be in this place ever again. That's going to require this level of radical transparency. And it's going to require you separating out the word cleanse from the word forgiveness. He cleanses through the blood of Jesus. He cleanses through the fire of God. He cleanses through the washing of the water of the Word. 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, then the blood cleanses us. Revelation 3:18 says, I ask that you give me gold tried by fire, a refiner's fire, where the fire goes through you and doesn't hurt the good places. It just burns out the places that aren't profitable to you. It's a planned burn, a controlled burn. Amazing. And Ephesians 5:26, the great apostle says that we get our minds renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. That just by reading the Scripture, thinking about the Scripture, the pureness of the Word of God can go down through you and begin to do a scrub, a cleanse on the inside of you. That's absolutely amazing. Use the word cleanse and interchange them. Cleanse me with your blood. Cleanse me with your fire. Cleanse me with the washing of the water of your Word. You know, and you may want to use one day and one another day, or use them all three in the same day, but begin to make these three words, these three type of cleansing with your everyday walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you a truth here in this particular series. I'm telling you a great truth that when cleansing begins to take place, oh my, the Holy Spirit then has to take, you know, our words, you know, our gestures. You know, He has to take what we're aiming at. And now God sees you're just not satisfied to be forgiven of an action. Now God sees you wanting to go deeper. He's seeing you want to tap into the full benefit of Calvary, the healing of the whole man. Oh man, this pleases God. You know, Jesus didn't suffer just to get a physical healing. He didn't suffer for you just to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The full impact of what He suffered for is that before we go to heaven, before we have eternal life, you know, forever and ever with God, is that we would walk whole up here upon the earth. That what a witness we would be, that in spite of the disease on the body, in spite of the broken heart, in spite of the bruised life, in spite of the setbacks and the rejection, in spite of all of the hurts that life offers, and that here you are, you're forgiven and you've cleansed. And in other words, it just doesn't stick to you anymore. Just like the toxins stick up inside of those organs and they got to be flushed out. Now yours is just not being able to stick because now you are learning to walk in the light. You're learning how to be cleansed with the blood. And you're learning how to get that cleansing by the refiner's fire of God who purges, who goes through you. And He's the one that has to do that. You and I can't actually do that. All we can do is request. We can make an aim. We can try and take the word and say, wow, God, now we know cleansing is different than forgiveness. And thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you, this has been blotted out. But oh, God, now I'm asking you to wipe it clean from my soul. Forgiveness blots it out in the mind of God. It blots it out in the heart of God. It removes it from any book where it's ever been recorded or mentioned. But whenever you're cleansed, it wipes it from the soul of each individual. That is so very, very powerful. And when this cleansing begins to take place, oh my, is it comfortable? Not always. Not always, because now you're watching as this cleanse causes things to surface, and you feel things because your soul's that part of you that is, you know, it's your mind, it's your feelings, it's your will. And this is the very part that the enemy really would love to hijack. He just wants to get in there, and that's why David said, set my soul free from the snare of the fowler. You know, but as you continue, and I want to say that word, as you continue to be committed to a process of cleansing, you know, then the enemy can't continue to stand, you know, that light on a perpetual basis. Because this is where the Holy Spirit, as he cleanses, as he gets down in there, you know, there may be moments where you feel uncomfortable and you want to pull out. You don't want to continue this. You know, and you walk with God, you work with his time frame. But I'll tell you this, in Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And it's so different between putting a dead animal on an altar to God versus a living creature. Why? Well, that fire is so hot that a living creature can jump off. It takes commitment to stay in the place of the fire and let God work. What's it take? Surrender. Oh, that's the word right here. If you are willing to surrender at a higher level, to get to a higher level, that's what it takes. The way up in the kingdom is down. That's right. He said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. If you decrease, I will increase. And how this takes place is when we begin to realize that as we let ourselves be seen in the light that God sees us, in our weakness, in our frailty, and we begin to say, oh God, I need grace. I need you to give me everything I need to walk with you and to serve you. I need everything from you for me to fulfill my assignment that's here on planet Earth. Because in me, there's just, I keep seem to neutralize. I have these weaknesses that try to offset my strength and the daily struggle. And then I'm needing to be cleansed. And oh God, I don't like what I'm seeing. And that's whenever God says, okay, we're going to work at this cleansing. We're going to go down in there and we're going to show you, we're going to show your flesh, we're going to show the devil, and we're going to show your enemies that in spite of you, in spite of what's happened to you, I can make you cleaner than clean. I can make you whiter than white. I mean, though your sins be red as crimson, Isaiah 1:18-19, I'll make you whiter than snow. God's saying, in spite of that, my plan is to be glorified in your weakness, you know, to be honored in your strength, but to be glorified in your weakness. And he said, how do I do this? By you coming clean. By you having a radical, radical transparency. By you having an aim. By you having a purpose to call on me and confess. And as David did, as he said, go down through me and search and find. I don't want the why of this and the how of this. Uproot contaminated seed. You know, break generational curses. And as you begin to surrender and you don't back out and you don't get afraid and you don't begin to let the enemy get you sideways by hearing all of this talk and then beginning to let him confuse your language and think, well, then I'm nothing and I'm no good and I must be horrible. And God never wants you to demean yourself. And he don't see you that way. He calls you a son and he calls you a daughter. When the prodigal came back from backsliding, you know, he had the smell of the pig pen. And he said to his father, I'll go sleep with the servants. And the father said, you most certainly will not. You will get into the house because you are a son. Whether you're dirty or clean, you're still a son. I cover my sons and daughters. I stand by them in the midst of their failings and their mistakes. I don't give up on you when you make a mistake. I work extra. I put in more time. I release more labors into your life. I send more answers on the wings of a snow-white dove than you've ever seen before. You know, I could never ask you to go the extra mile if I'm not going to go the extra mile. You know, my love, the height, the length, the breadth, and the width of my love surpasses knowledge that all the books in the world have. God says, I'm in this to get you forgiven and to get you cleansed by the blood, by the fire, by the washing of the water. All I need for you to do is sign up. All I need for you to do is begin to have a transparency that up until now, maybe you've been afraid to have. All I need for you to do is aim higher, to want more, and to be hungry and to go after it. To allow me. And once I get the green light from you, God said, I'll begin to work inside of you. And as we journey together in this daily cleanse, as I hear you cry to me, as I hear you speak to me, as I hear you stand on places in the Word of God that allows me to put what's on a page on the table of your heart and then just watch it work on the inside of you. As we begin to see this slow but sure transformation, and we begin to see your heart being sprinkled clean of every evil conscience, there's going to be such an osmosis, such a transformation, a renaissance of a new you emerging. And that new you that's emerging is you'll have more ahead of you than behind you, and there won't be that frequency of keep visiting the same place over and over and over again. Where's this? How's this all happen? If we confess our sins, He's just and able to forgive and cleanse. Use that word and say, Lord, I'm signing up for a soul cleanse today. I don't know what all stuck up inside of my mind and my emotions and even my will at times. And sometimes my will isn't as free as I think it is. You know, when Eve was in the Garden of Eden, everybody says her, we have a free will and we choose. Well, she chose, but her will was under the influence. The last time I checked, there was a talking snake that influenced, you know, and really had power over her will and got her to go and choose a way that was wrong, you know. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times our will isn't as free as we think. It's highly influenced by family, by our past, by our feelings, by our circumstances. We've got to shake loose. We've got to make sure that in this hour, this great hour of the end time harvest, that we are being forgiven, we are being cleansed, and we have a message of hope and healing and wholeness that can help change the whole world. I pray right now, in Jesus' name, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, touch, heal, make whole, cleanse, my friends. Amen and amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.